and surpassed, penetrating and perfect truth. Seldom method, even 100,000 years helpless. Now we can see and hear it, we can remember and accept it. I vow to make the Buddhist truth one with myself.
Homage to the Buddha, homage to the Dharma, homage to the Sangha. In the scripture on the immeasurable life of the Tathagata, there are these words. This is the Buddha speaking. You should think of it not just as a historical Buddha, but this is the eternal speaking. Continuously have I voiced the Dharma, teaching untold billions of beings how to turn their hearts around that they may enter the Buddha's path. To ferry these sentient beings to the other shore, I reveal to them by skillful means my parinirvana. Yet truly I am not extinct, but always abiding here, giving voice to the Dharma. I continue to abide in this world, using my spiritual powers to make confused creatures not see me, though I am near, so that they may look on me as extinct and make offering to my relics. Cherishing longing desires and giving rise to hearts thirsting for hope. When these sentient beings in faith and humility, honest and forthright in manner, gentle in thought, wholeheartedly yearn to see the Buddha, not begrudging even their own lives, then I, with all the Sangha, appear together on the divine vulture peak. I then tell these sentient beings that I continue to abide here without extinction. By the power of my skillful methods, I show myself as extinct, even though not extinct. Then it goes on to say a little later, when I behold sentient beings sunk in their suffering and distress, I do not show myself, but set them all to look up in their thirsting and, when their hearts are filled with fervent longing, I then appear and proclaim the Dharma. This scripture is one of the poems in the Lotus Sutra. A great Mahayana Buddhist scripture. If we think these words that I've just read as expressing something about the very nature of existence, we could rephrase it in this way. When I use the word I here, think of it as the eternal giving us teaching, the eternal speaking to us. Because you are prone to you as us here, because you are prone to sink into ignorance and complacency very easily, the world is set up and configured in such a way that in order to find me, in order to find a refuge that is abiding, a peace that is abiding, a reality that is abiding, you have to turn within. And look up in longing and in faith. Even while I am always here abiding with you, even while I, your true refuge, am always right within your own heart, right in the here and now. The world is set up in such a way that unless you train yourself, you will go through your life in ignorance of this, the most important of all facts. In ignorance of where your true refuge lies and how to find it. Yet you can find it. If you trust your spiritual intuition, and if you have the faith and humility, and purity of heart to undertake a true spiritual path, to train yourself in meditation and in the precepts. Then you can find me. For again, I am never far from you. In fact, though you are not me, I am all of you. We perhaps don't often stop and consider that the very fact that life is as it is, that existence is as it is, that we are beings whose life is very short, we are beings who suffer, we are beings who carry a karmic load that needs conversion. This very fact embodies cosmic compassion. For what would the alternative be? What if we were in a kind of heaven, if we were born into a kind of heaven? What if we were born into a situation where everything that is most real and most important in existence was clearly evident to us? We didn't have to long for it. We didn't have to search for it. How would we avoid just taking all of our blessings for granted? How would we be able to avoid falling into a deep spiritual sleep of complacency? And what would it take to stir us out of that sleep? I know that people long for us to be in a state where life is not so difficult. But it's amazing the things that people do and the attitudes that people often immediately adopt when they find themselves in a state that is less miserable. The most unhappy person you can imagine, if suddenly relieved of all their pain and misery, can in a flash turn into the most swollen-headed person you ever knew. Who only has contempt for those who are in misery. Life is simply set up in such a way that none of us is able to bask in the sun for very long. That there's a stream of reminders that existence, bodily existence, psychophysical existence is transitory. That there is physical and spiritual pain. That we are subject to disease, old age, and to death itself. And we have to really work at it. We have to work hard at it to sustain a kind of illusion that this is not, in fact, the case. That we can make a kind of worldly heaven for ourselves. That doesn't mean people don't try. People try hard. They do have to work hard at it. There's nothing more difficult than trying to make this realm of samsara into a place of perpetual happiness. It's easy enough to be grateful for kindness in its more obvious forms. It's not so easy to be grateful for the kindness that is constantly flowing to us in the form of these reminders that after all, there is such a thing as suffering, there is such a thing as impermanence. And we have a need that cannot be met by worldly remedies. This week I've done a talk on faith in meditation. I've done a talk on faith in the eternal. This talk is on faith in compassion. And not just the compassion that is most obvious, but the compassion that helps us look up in our longing, turn within in our longing, and seek an undying, unborn refuge. Homage to all the Buddhas in all worlds. Homage to all the Bodhisattvas in all worlds. Homage to the scripture of great wisdom.